Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on the environment and concept sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. Joining me as co-host Lynn Ware Peake. And first guest, first topic this morning, we have Dave Pacheco with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance and Lindsay Beebe with the Utah chapter of the Sierra Club. And they're here to talk about a couple of few things that's going on with both of those organizations. But first, we're going to talk about an event that's going on down in Salt Lake City this weekend. It's called the People's Energy Summit. And both organizations, along with a number of others, are involved in this event. And Lindsay, why don't you share with us some of the details?
Yeah, over 35 other organizations from across the state are actually involved in helping to host this. You've got the Sierra Club and SUA. You've also got groups like Heal Utah, Yellowstone to Uintas Connection. A lot of student groups have been involved as well. So we're excited to be able to bring together a really broad coalition of different interests to help host this event. And the People's Energy Summit is an opportunity for community members to help envision a brighter energy future for Utah. We're going to be talking about the concept of a just transition, which means a transition towards clean, renewable energy in a way that is equitable for all communities.
So just and equitable, when I saw those two words, it made me think also about job creation, and the just part being that if we're transitioning people from jobs in the extractive energy industry, then the just and equitable thing is to repurpose them into renewable and alternative energies. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, of course. Utah, you know, we sit at a really fortunate place. We are one of the sunniest states in the country. We have a great renewable resources here. Unfortunately, we also have a major reliance on fossil fuels. Over 85% of the power produced in this state comes from fossil fuels. And so we do have a long way to go to make that more cleaner transition. But when we're thinking about where these amazing renewable resources are, I mean, they're right in the communities that also currently rely on extractive industries. So there's a real potential for generation, but also manufacturing of some of these, solar panels or other infrastructure.
So where is the event being held? What time?
The People's Energy Summit is going to be at Library Square, downtown Salt Lake. It starts at 9:30. We have an opening ceremony with the drum group Sun Water, who will be performing, will be doing a land acknowledgement. And then we will move on to a host of different workshops. You can check out the full workshop layout on the Facebook page. It's probably the best place to find it. You can just search People's Energy Summit on Facebook, and it'll pop up for you.
So this seems to be not only SUA and the Sierra Club, the Utah chapter of the Sierra Club, but dozens, I think literally, of other groups. There are so many conservation groups here in Utah, some that I've not heard of before. So, of course, we've heard of those like Heal Utah and Utah Physicians for a Healthy Environment. We've worked a lot with them. But think groups like United We Change and what else? Oh, even Planned Parenthood is involved in this. So these are all, this is a big effort, big collaborative effort.
Yeah, United We Change, they're a great group. They've popped up as a collaboration between the U and BYU. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Right. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, they have.
So that's a great way to get students involved in this effort as well.
And speaking of students, the BYU Earth Stewardship also will be presenting. And
right.
So will all these groups have tables set up and
Yeah, they'll be tabling. There'll also be certain workshops are led by certain groups. And there's a major focus on youth leadership within this. The student-led resolution on climate change that passed just recently at the state legislature, it was a big landmark win for climate in Utah, at least in terms of recognizing its real impact. And so we've got a lot of those student organizers continuing to work with us and really building the movement from young people to the rest of the community.
All right, so that's this Saturday.
Yes.
Starting at 9:30.
And it runs throughout the day. There'll be food trucks for lunch.
Talks,
join us.
Yep. Presentations.
2 p.m. is the important time if you want to just hit the keynote speakers. There'll be some wonderful talks from, as I mentioned, the student organizers. We've got a Navajo activist going to be talking about rural Utah organizing, as well as a fourth-generation coal miner, Gabriel, is going to be coming up from East Carbon to talk about his experience.
You know, my eye was drawn to that. Gabriel Hunt, a Carbon County resident and fourth-generation coal miner. What will he be presenting? I mean, this is definitely the retooling of the industry. If you go to Price or Helper or some of those towns, Farmington, south of Price, and you see that the coal mining operations are literally shutting down one by one. And so it is time to retool. What will he be talking about?
I mean, the reality for him is he's out of work right now. And so that's something that he really is passionate about in terms of transitioning, diversifying these rural economies and looking for opportunities that can provide good family-sustaining jobs for people who choose and love to live in these beautiful places. We need to work together to think of a way forward.
And as always, you know, in addition to kind of changing the source of our energy, from fossil fuels to renewable efficiency and reducing our consumption is also a source of energy savings too.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's a big step. Many times that's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And just simply learning to how to use less electricity, less natural gas, less gas and diesel, et cetera. Learning to I hope there's some information or groups about
there
that are there
to
help that.
We've got a couple cool workshops that are going to be happening. One on community solar, talking about how you can work with your neighbors to generate power.
Yeah, but I can't afford solar panels, or my HOA, or my roof aspect doesn't maximize.
So. And then community solar is a way for you to kind of buy in, and it doesn't have to go right on your roof, but you can be a stakeholder in a project.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so there are ways forward, good. And you can learn about that. We've also got the SLC Air Protectors. They're going to be talking about permaculture along with Slow Food Utah and talking about ways for people to be more sustainable just on their
good.
Own homesteads.
Lindsay, what's the focus of your work at the Sierra Club?
I'm the Beyond Coal organizer for the Sierra Club, and Beyond Coal is a national campaign that works on transitioning away from fossil fuels towards renewables. So here in Utah, we work a lot on liaising with the Public Service Commission in terms of mm-hmm. how they regulate our major monopoly utility, Rocky mm-hmm. Mountain Power. And we also are really pleased to be able to work with cities like Park City, Summit County, mm-hmm. Salt Lake, and Moab as they work towards their 100% clean energy goals. And we do have a national campaign, Ready for 100. There's over 64 cities across the country that are committed to 100% clean energy, and Park City and Salt Lake are some of the leaders there, so that's really exciting.
Yeah. Hey, I always get hung up on one thing I want to ask you about. I power my house with solar panels and this cute little electric car that sits in our garage. Power that with solar as well.
Nice.
So I feel pretty good about that. How do I get away from natural gas? Because at the end of the day, I've got to heat my house. And I have thought, because I have enough solar panels, that if I don't have to use my heat tape in the winter, I've got excess energy. And I thought, well, maybe I should just start heating with electric space heaters because they're being powered by the sun.
Right.
But I know that's not energy efficient. How do we get away from natural gas?
Well, I know maybe you could reach out to your friends down in Moab. The Moab City Council building, or their city building there, is run off of geothermal heat. And so they have kind of radiant heating throughout. And it's a really innovative way. I mean, that's a complete net zero building. And so there are different opportunities for how you get your heat, for sure.
Yeah. So you're going to have to retrofit an old house.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good point. All right. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Lindsay Beebe with the Sierra Club. And although he hasn't spoken yet, which is probably a record for him, Dave Pacheco, grassroots organizer with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. Both of those groups, among many others, are going to be part of the People's Energy Summit, which is happening this Saturday down in Salt Lake City at the library down there. It starts at 9:30, continues throughout the day. You can go online and get, I guess, a schedule and,
yeah,
an agenda.
Yeah, right on the Facebook page. Again, just, you know, People's Energy Summit into Facebook. It's the only one. You'll All find right. the agenda right there.
All right. Well, let's turn to Dave. Obviously, SUA will have a table there at the event, too. But what are some of the things that's going on with SUA right now? Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance.
Well, yeah, we will have a table at the event, as well as many of the other groups. And one of the things we're doing at the Energy Summit is hosting one of these workshops. So one of the morning workshops is going to focus on the fossil fuel debacle in Utah. We're going to talk about how oil and gas leases are done, what the procedure is, what the process is, dive into the detail of some of the more recent ones, what was sold, how the leasing and drilling kind of process works. So kind of talk about the nuts and bolts, but also talk about some of the health impacts that result from areas that are high producers of fossil fuel, like out in the Uinta Basin, and what really happens in some of these communities as a result of being dependent on fossil fuels. We'll talk about that, and we'll also kind of summarize the event with, or the workshop with, you know, ways that people can get involved. So we're not doing that workshop alone. It's SUA in partnership with local writer and photographer Stephen Trimble and the Center for Biological Diversity as
nice.
Well. And they'll kind of end the workshop with a solution sort of based approach. It's not just going to be us talking. We
right.
want to open up a big chunk of the end of the workshop for back and forth. We want to hear from people as to what sort of things they want to do, what sort of energies they have to add to the solution, because in the end, it's not an organization or a group that is going to be a part of the solution. We all have to be a part of the solution, taking individual actions and encouraging our neighbors to do the same. So we're really going to focus on solution-based approaches in this particular workshop. So each of the workshops is designed in kind of the similar format. There's a wide variety of workshops, a wide variety of groups, and SUA is really kind of tackling the public lands and oil and gas development on our public lands aspect of energy.
So things you can, calls for action that you can employ either as an individual or get part of, become part of these organizations,
yeah.
alliances. There's, like you say, there's literally dozens that are going to be there. And so that this is the chance to educate and become aware of what's going on in the state. And a lot has happened over the last 5, 6, 8, 10 years that I've lived here. I've seen a lot go on with respect to environmental awareness, environmental education, environmental activities in municipal, private businesses getting it. And hopefully, maybe you guys not, and so maybe you've seen a trend up in the state, too. With respect to the work you do.
Yeah, and you know that's kind of what the summit is also geared towards, kind of the grand finale, and is that we'll do workshops in the morning. We'll have keynote speakers at 2 o'clock, as Lindsay talked about. But the ending session is really what you're getting at, Chris, which is there's going to be a collective visioning session that's going to last at least 2 hours, mm-hmm. where we're really having a conversation in the community. So it'll be a group roundtable conversation out on the plaza where we really are getting at the heart of the solutions and trying to let people think what their role is and what they can do. So that really is kind of the grand finale of the event.
Good.
I wanted to ask a little bit about the Uinta Basin and the air quality as it relates to health issues. I think while fracking was, you know, at its heyday, we started to hear a lot about birth defects and things like that. Where are we now, you know, with fracking in the Uinta Basin? And what are we seeing there? What is the peer-reviewed science that we've seen come out of, you know, either charting air quality or health aspects?
Well, I don't think either Lindsay or I are experts on that particular subject, but we can talk in generalities. The amount of fracking that has been happening out in the Uinta Basin, it ebbs and flows. It's
right.
much like the fossil fuel industry itself. It's a boom or bust situation, depending
right.
on the economics. Over the last several years, it has been on decline, and a lot of people were laid off and moved away from the communities. The health impacts are still there, even though there's less and less. But now that we have the energy dominance is the theme in this country with the,
right.
with President Trump and his Secretary of Interior Zinke, those impacts are starting. The industry is starting to come yeah. back, so they're bringing it back, and so those impacts to health are not going away. Some of the famous stuff that was done was a nurse out there, and I can't remember her name, Dorothy, was brought this to light, brought the health impacts to light, focused on the cancer clusters that were happening around areas that were intensely fracked, and she moved away. And there was so much pressure in the community for her to just shut up and go away. That you know, people don't want to face the hard realities of the health impacts that doing such a working with volatile organic compounds will do to one's health, and so it's kind of a stick your head in the sand sort of a thing, and those aren't going away. Just recently, there was a decision, and again, I don't know the details of it, but the effort by the EPA to look at the health effects in the area and the ozone levels officially was declared the Uinta Basin as a non-attainment zone for ozone. And so there will be something done about it by a law. They need to correct it, and that's going to take a while.
And in addition, let's remember that oil just crossed the $70 per barrel threshold a day or so ago, plus or minus. But it's been increasing in price. And so with that, activity goes back up, right? We're going to see more and more of those double trailer trucks driving up and down 40 and 80, delivering raw, waxy yellow crude to the refineries here as the price of oil goes up. So that's you say boom or bust. Well, it may be trending back towards boom. All right, last couple minutes.
Wanted to ask about some legislation
yes.
That SUA is dealing with regarding the San Rafael swell. What's that all about?
Well, it's SUA and with our partners in the Utah Wilderness Coalition, the Utah chapter of the Sierra Club and National Sierra Club included. There is going to be legislation introduced into the U.S. Congress very soon. We know because we've been talking with the Utah politicians. We know that Emery County has been pressing that they push forth a measure that deals with public lands in Emery County only. Senator Hatch is the person moving it in the Senate. And Representative John Curtis will be moving the bill in the House. So the legislation, we again haven't seen the last version of it. We've seen some early drafts, and from what we saw, we can tell you that the bill doesn't protect a lot of places that are some of the best wild places in Utah. The San Rafael Swell area is at the heart of Emery County. While the bill will look good on its surface, there's just simply a lot of wild country in Emery County. They would designate the current wilderness study areas, so lands that are already basically protected as wilderness, as official wilderness areas. But that would leave out the other two-thirds of the wild lands that actually do meet. So they'll come in around 500,000 acres of actual wilderness. It's wilderness that's currently being protected, but they're ignoring the other two-thirds, the other 1 million acres that deserves protection. Places like Labyrinth Canyon that boaters know. This bill would probably only legislate lands on one side of the river, on the east side, which is Emery County, and ignore, or on the west side, which is Emery County, and ignore the east side, which is Grand County. It's just a dumb way to do public lands management. You should be managing the whole river corridor in one consistent fashion. It would leave out areas like the greater Muddy Creek area. While there would be some wilderness designated in the current wilderness study areas, they would leave out the vast majority of the Muddy Creek complex, which is one of the biggest, most wild, remote places in Utah. There are places outside of the Muddy Creek and outside of the San Rafael Swell, just on the western borders, collectively known as the San Rafael West Badlands. Mm. Places like the Mustn't Touch It Badlands, the Mullen Reef area, the Cedar Mountain, the Eagle Canyon area, Rock Canyon, big complexes of wildlands that are very rugged and remote. The oil and gas industry has its eye on it, and they would not give any protection for these places.
Where do people go to learn more about this?
You can find more at SUA.org, there will be banners flashing across the homepage very soon because we expect the bill to be introduced this week.
Wow.
So we'll get a chance to take a look at it, and we'll provide our analysis. There will be plenty of things you can do to act on it, including contacting Senator Hatch and Representative Curtis's offices.
Okay. Dave Pacheco, grassroots organizer with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, and Lindsay Beebe with the Utah chapter of Sierra Club. Thanks again for joining us this morning, and we'll see you down at the People's Energy Summit.
Library Square.
Library Square.
Starting at 9:30.